Quote, Emmanuel Wallerstein. The main concern of every government in the world, from the United States to China, from France to Russia to Brazil, not to speak of all the weaker governments on the world scene, has become the urgency of averting an uprising of unemployed workers joined by middle strata whose savings and pensions are disappearing. Unquote. From his chapter in Does Capitalism Have a Future? Called Structural Crisis or Why Capitalists May No Longer Find Capitalism Rewarding. As Keith Lowe opens part three of his book, Savage Continent, he opens with a quote from Joseph Stalin. You should create such conditions that they want to escape themselves. Unquote. Our show's examining this work, or these three chapters of it, are going to continue this discussion of how and why power divides. Part 3, Ethnic Cleansing, Chapter 16, Wartime Choices. Quote, the Second World War was never merely a conflict over territory. It was also a war of race and ethnicity. Some of the defining events of the war had nothing to do with winning and maintaining physical ground, but with imposing one's own ethnic stamp on ground already held. And I have to interject, at whose behest? As we just heard, we the people, the commoners, this wasn't our agenda. Continuing. The Jewish Holocaust, the ethnic cleansing of Western Ukraine, the attempted genocide of Croatian Serbs, these were events that were pursued with a vigor every bit as ardent as the military war. A vast number of people, perhaps 10 million or more, were deliberately exterminated for no other reason than that they happened to belong to the wrong ethnic or racial group. The problem for those pursuing this racial war was that it was not always easy to define a person's race or ethnicity, particularly in Eastern Europe, where different communities were often inextricably intermingled. Jews who happened to have blonde hair and blue eyes could slip through the net because they didn't fit the Nazis' preconceived racial stereotype. Gypsies could and did disguise themselves as members of other ethnic groups just by changing their clothes and their behavior, as did Slovaks in Hungary, Bosniaks in Serbia, Romanians in Ukraine, and so on. The most common way of identifying one's ethnic friends or enemies, the language they spoke, was not always an accurate guide either. Those who had grown up in mixed communities spoke several languages and could switch between one and the next depending on whom they were speaking to, a skill that would save many lives during the darkest days of the war and its aftermath. In an effort to categorize the population of Europe, the Nazis insisted, and I'm going to pause for a second and say, Kropotkin's admonition that we can't trust the power-given state-sanctioned definitions that we're given to work with, those that compose history and are propagated in the media, is coming up for me here. Given that states, almost by definition, target others, how does the term the Nazis help us understand the actual forces at work that shape our lives? Keith Lowe uses the term in the literal dictionary sense as a member of the Party of National Socialists. But what I hope to show is that Karl Popper's gift in exposing the origins of totalitarian thinking in Plato, in the worship of the state, is a far more potent, for we commoners, way to see it, for achieving our freedom. Nazi, the word Nazi, lets a lot of shadowy shadow statesmen off the hook, as well as being one of those statist we's by which the evils of the statesmen get piled on our backs. How is it that we are always so easily played? If not, as Alice Miller says, because the evils of the familial statesmen get piled on our backs. These are literal burdens, obligations, how to return them, if not by seeing how they were originally placed. Which means we must have our absolutely necessary conversation about obedience, discussion of which decade after decade has been suppressed. Because on the face of it, it makes no sense. Why should the soldiers of a state be made to pay for what their rulers ordered them to do? When every state will insist that upon all liberties, quote unquote, it bestows depend absolute obedience and unshakable military discipline. And Chelsea Manning is exhibit number one right now for the truth of what I'm saying.